This is another story from Ireland. This is about Finn MacCool, the great Irish hero. Finn and his band of men were riding through the forest one evening. This is in the form of a riddle, by the way, so I'll ask you the answer at the end. Finn and his men were riding through the forest, and there came a great storm. And they needed to find shelter, and there was no shelter around. They saw a light off through the trees, and Finn said, "There may be a cottage there. We'll go there." So they rode toward the light, and they came to a very small cottage. And Finn fell off his horse and knocked on the door, and there was a voice inside that says, "Come in, Finn, and bring your men." "Oh, we're known here," he says. So Finn and his men all went into the little front room of the cottage, and there was an old man sitting by the fire, almost in the fireplace, dressed in rags. And there was a scrawny sheep tied by a piece of rotten rope by the fireplace, and a table and a few benches. And the old man stood up, and about 40 pounds of ashes fell out of his clothing. He says, "Welcome, Finn. Welcome you and your men." He says, "My daughter will prepare a supper for you." And the daughter came out of the back room, and she was the loveliest thing Finn had ever seen. He couldn't take his eyes off her. And she went to the cupboard and began to gather food together and lay it out on the table. And Finn watched her every movement. Suddenly, the scrawny sheep broke loose from its rope and began running around the room. And it knocked the table over and threw the food on the floor. And try as they might, Finn and all of his men couldn't hold the sheep. They'd grab him and the sheep out of their arms and gone. And the old man finally, in disgust, said, "Ah, you're all a bunch of weaklings." And he grabbed the sheep with the scruff of the neck, pulled it and retied it. His daughter gathered up the remains of the food and did the best she could to make a supper. And they all sat down and ate. And after supper, Finn began to pay court to the young lady, and she says, "Ah, no, Finn. Ah, no, you had me once, but never again." And Finn said, "Madam, I've only just met you this evening." And all she would say was, "No, Finn, you had me once, but never again. Now here's the riddle. Who are the old man, the sheep, and the daughter?" "The old man is death. The sheep is strength. And only death can conquer strength. And the daughter is youth. We have youth but once. And when it's gone, we may never have it again."
We live in a great state here in Florida. There are a lot of legends about things that happen here in Florida. But there was once, many, many, many years ago, a young Indian maiden. She was the daughter of a chief. She was just beautiful. She was in love with a Spanish soldier. They would sneak off together to be together. And finally, they couldn't stand it any longer. They decided they just had to be together for the rest of their lives. But when the soldier went to her father to ask him for permission to marry her, oh, he was furious. The chief was very upset because he had plans for his daughter to marry a brave of another tribe. He told her no, but they were determined to be together. But the chief knew this, and he took the Spanish soldier, had the Spanish soldier killed. Well, now, the girl could not eat. She could not sleep. She was wasting away. And then one night, she walked deep into the woods of Florida, never to be seen again. And the Indians never cut their hair. The women would let their hair grow long. She had beautiful, long black hair all the way to the ground. She found a tree. She stood against the tree, took her hair, put it into a long plait, tied it herself to the tree. And she stayed there all night long. And the winds came, and they beat against her body. And the next day the sun came out, and it baked the skin on her body. And then the winds came again and the rains came. And through the days, her skin began to disappear from her body. And it continued to beat and beat. And then there was nothing. But her long black hair continued to grow. And it grew. And it grew. And the winds came. And it blew it all around. And the years came and it turned it gray. It turned gray. And today, when you walk out into the woods of Florida, and you walk out now, you look up into the trees, and you will see her hair hanging in the trees now. And we call that Spanish moss. Now, I don't know if you know, not only is it blowing in the tree as a part of Florida, but there's a habitat, that is a habitat for an animal that grows, that lives in those, in that moss. Do you know what lives in the Spanish moss? What? Chiggers, a red bug. And you know what they are, don't you? Because they just look for us folks to walk out in those woods, and they jump on us, and they get around our waist, and they just nibble worse than mosquitoes do. But now in Jacksonville, we have a cure for that. We use sulfur dust. Somebody said last year that doesn't work. Well, now, I don't know what kind of chiggers are the rest of Florida, but in Jacksonville, we have the kind of chiggers that do not like sulfur dust. You put that around your ankles, and it gets rid of those old chiggers. They don't come on you. And that's an air plant, you know. It doesn't need any soil to grow. And it doesn't also, you don't find it in North Carolina. That is truly a southern plant. It is southern. It's not any, it doesn't grow above South Carolina because folks in North Carolina have to come down to South Carolina and Florida and Georgia to get it. It doesn't grow up there. But that is a Florida tale. But you know, we also have an exciting fella who lived here years ago. You know, we have always had post offices. Did you know that? Long time ago, they had mailmen that would walk and carry the mail all over Florida. And one of these men grew up right up here in Lake City. And he was a nice little old baby. He grew up so small. He was just a sweet little old baby. Grew up in a little log cabin. Mom and Daddy were proud of him. His last name was Johnson. And he grew up to be a big man. They say he was over 6 feet tall. But as he grew, his feet grew. Now, some folks say he wore a 17 and a half size shoe. Now, I wasn't living, I didn't know him then. What?
Michael Jordan.
No. Jordan. Not quite. Not good guess. Nope. That was before his time. This was back in the mid-1800s. What?
Bunyan?
Nope, not Paul Bunyan. Now, this was a real man. He really lived. He was right here in Florida. Anyway, he moved on down when he became a man. He moved on down to South Florida. And he got a job with the post office department delivering mail. And every day, 3 days a week, he would walk 65 miles delivering the mail. And he loved his job. He loved being a mailman. Well, one day, a neighbor heard a lot. He was so good that one time a man was coming in a buggy, and he said, "Come on, Acrefoot, hop in. I'll give you a ride." Acrefoot said, "No, I ain't got time. You're too slow." And he was. He was faster than the man's horse. He really was. Well, one day a neighbor heard a whole lot of hammering going on in Acrefoot's house. He comes over, he said, "Acrefoot, what in the world are you making, man?" "I'm making a chair." "Acrefoot, you don't need no chair. You got a house full of chairs." "Yeah, I do too. I'm going to start delivering passengers." "Acrefoot, you can't deliver no passengers with a chair. What's that good? I'm going to put it on my back." Now, Acrefoot, you crazy man, you can't put no chair on your back. I can, too. You sit down in it, and I'll show you. The neighbor sat down in the chair, and Acrefoot reached back and took the strap, tied the chair on him, took off down the road. He walked 10 miles with that man on his back and turned around and he came back, not even out of breath. He said, Acrefoot, you're a good old boy. That's a good idea. Now listen, I want you to take me to Fort Walton Beach next week. When Acrefoot did that for some time, he was delivering passengers and the U.S. mail at the same time. Until post office department found out about him. Said, Acrefoot, you cannot deliver mail anymore. Said, it's against the rules. You cannot deliver mail and passengers. But I got to. My young'uns are getting too big and I need more money. He only made $25 a month. And of course he couldn't buy any shoes. His feet were too big to buy shoes. That's why he went barefooted. And he said, I just got to have the extra money for my young'uns. Well, sorry, Acrefoot, you got to stop delivering passengers. Acrefoot said, well, if I can't deliver my passengers, I quit. And he did. He quit delivering his mail. He quit his job. He went down to Arcadia, Florida, and worked in a sawmill. And that is a true story now, and it really is. That really happened to a man who lived right here in Florida. So you got a little bit of little mishmash of stories in history here today. Our next storyteller just popped in. This is Shelley from Tallahassee. And she's completely different.
Talking about Acrefoot, though, last night I was with a man who was telling me about how when he was a real small boy, how his grandmother would always take him to revivals down in Arcadia and Nocatee. He lived in Nocatee. And how Acrefoot was always at the revivals. And he knows his son, who was, you know, 60 or something, you know, when he was a little boy. So,
yes,
all true. All true. All right, well, I'm going to tell you a story about a famous rabbit. You know any famous rabbits? Yeah? Brer rabbit. You get the 2 points, because that is exactly the rabbit this story is about. You know any other famous rabbits? Peter Cottontail. Mm-hmm. Bugs Bunny. Any others? Mm-hmm. Harvey. That's not one everybody knows. Mm-hmm. Roger Rabbit. How soon they forget. Yes, sometimes people give me real interesting ones like the Energizer Bunny. Yeah, you never know. Well, this one is about Brer Rabbit. You see, there was once a wild cat who was waiting for a turkey to come along. Because that's what he wanted to eat for lunch. But no turkey came along. And so that old wildcat, he waited a little bit longer. And along came Brer Rabbit. A doo 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 doo. Now that old wildcat jumped up. Rawr! He grabbed hold of Brer Rabbit. Brer Rabbit said, oh, please don't eat me. I'm very small. I'm barely a mouthful. Please let me go. I wanted to wait, get a turkey or something. I've been waiting for a turkey, said that old wildcat. I've been waiting all day, and I'm sick of waiting. I'm hungry, and I'm going to eat you up. Oh, please, don't eat me up, said Brer Rabbit. I'm very small. I'll teach you a trick or something, okay? Well, now, that old wildcat, he let go of Brer Rabbit. And Brer Rabbit, he jumped off into the bushes. Doo 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 doo. Well, now, that old wildcat, he did just what Brer Rabbit said. He laid down in the road and he pretended he was dead. And along came those old turkeys. Gobble, 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 gobble. Those old turkeys came right up and they went, "Ooh, would you look at that? It's a dead cat." That's no dead cat. That's just a cat pretending to be dead. Nah, he's dead. Look at him. He's not even breathing. I think he's just holding his breath. Well, they argued back and forth and forth and back, and they got closer and closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. Meow! That old cat jumped up. Woo! Those turkeys ran in every direction. That old wild cat, he didn't catch a one, not even a feather. Well, old Brer Rabbit, he jumped up from those bushes and he said, "I tricked you again," he said, "I tricked you again." And that is why to this very day, when a wild cat catches a rabbit, they eat him up quick, because they're not ever going to have another trick played on them. And that's the end of that. Now, I do have a short, real gross, true story to tell y'all. All this coughing and hacking, and any of you have heard me before know I have no voice here today. I have mold in my lungs. Now, is that the grossest thing you have ever heard?
No.
Totally gross. You're right. Totally gross. So, I'll just talk around this cough drop here and do what we can do. I'm better than I was last week, though, so count your blessings. All right, I'll tell you, I'm counting mine. If I'm even upright, it's a plus, huh? Okay. Any guess? Good for you. There were three little pigs. Yes, one, two, three. Two built houses as easy as could be. The first one was straw, the second one sticks. For working those pigs just didn't mix. The third little pig, he didn't mind work. It was definitely something that he didn't shirk. He got some mortar and plenty of bricks and built a house that would stand up to tricks. Tricks of the big bad wolf came a-knocking at the door. Chaw, chaw. He huffed and he puffed, blew two houses in. Both pigs got out by the chinny chin chin. Whew. The pigs displaced ran to the brick house where they were told to be quiet as a stick mouse. That old wolf came to the door and he huffed and he puffed and he puffed and he huffed till he couldn't anymore. "I use my brain," said the crafty wolf. "I'm out of that house or go insane. Little pigs, the turnips are happening. I'll meet you at the field at the stroke of 7. 6 o'clock, the turnips were picked. The pigs went home and the wolf was ticked. Same thing happened with the apples on the hill, for the wolf, this was a bitter pill. "One more time," said Big Bad, "and this time I won't be had." The fair at Shanklin is where they beat it for. When the pigs went home, that wolf was sore. "This is it," roared B.B. "You've really turned up my ire." He climbed in the chimney and he burned up in the fire. "Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Da 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 da, not me." Cha! There was once a very lazy boy. This boy was so lazy, it would take him like 20 minutes to get up in the morning. And then he was so tired, he'd have to go back to sleep for a while. Now this lazy boy, he was also a very bad boy. Because he liked to skip school and go out and play cards with his friends. Now one day, he couldn't get anybody to go with him because they were showing movies at school that day, you know. So he was out there just playing solitaire. And he heard a little voice behind him. "Hey, hey, hey, what are those?" And he looked, and there was the strangest little man. He was only about this tall, with long, scraggly hair and snarly teeth. At first, the boy was scared, and then he said, "Oh, you're nothing but an old Tommy knocker." Now, I'm sure that you all have scene about like that Stephen King movie about Tommyknockers and all that. Well, that's not what a Tommyknocker's like at all. A Tommyknocker is like a leprechaun. Y'all know what a leprechaun is, right? Little man in Ireland, little magic man, wears a lot of green, has gold at the end of the rainbow. Well, a Tommyknocker's like that too. Except a Tommyknocker lives in California in the gold mines. And he's not real crazy over green. Well, now, the Tommyknocker said, yeah, but what are those? Well, the boy explained about the cards. And the Tommyknocker said, I'll trade you. A fan? What would I want with a fan? Besides, my sister has 100 fans, and they're all better than that old raggedy thing. Yeah, but this is a magic fan. When you go like this, it makes your nose grow. And then when you go like this, it makes it pop back. Ooh, that sounded like fun. So that lazy boy, he traded the cards for the magic fan. Now, it was just about time for school to let out. And that old lazy boy, he went over and he watched. And along came the mayor's daughter. And so he fanned that magic fan. 1, 2, 3. Now that girl, she went home. First thing she did was go up into her room, look at herself in the mirror. She was that kind of girl, don't you know? And when she saw herself in the mirror, she started to scream. Oh, no! She had a lot to scream about. Her nose was clear out to here. Well, the mayor came home about that time, and he called for his daughter to come downstairs to supper. But the girl wouldn't come downstairs. Go away, go away. I have a very sick nose. Her nose was sick, all right. Her nose was clear out to here. Well, now, the mayor called for the doctor to come to the house. But when the doctor came, that girl wouldn't open the door. Go away, go away. I'm never seeing anyone ever again. Her nose was so long now that she had to stand on her bed because her nose was all over the floor of her room. Well, the doctor left, insulted. And they called for the holy men of the town to come. But when the holy men came, that girl wouldn't open the door. Go away, please. I just want to be left alone. Her nose was so long now that she had to hold the tip of it over her arm just so she could breathe. And she had cried so much that her nose was all slippery and slimy like an old snake. Well, the holy men left, and they called for the town crier. Hear ye, hear ye. Anyone who can cure the mayor's daughter's sick nose may have anything they want. Just what that lazy boy had been waiting for. So he came to the mayor's house, and when the mayor opened the door, he said, You, but you're that lazy good-for-nothing boy. And he said, you said anybody, and I reckon I'm anybody. Couldn't argue with that. So the boy came in, and the mayor went up to the mayor's daughter's room, and I don't know how he got that girl to come and open the door. And I don't know how she got over all that nose to come and open it, but she did just this much. And he fanned the magic fan. 1, 2, 3. Now, you know how it sounds when you let all the air out of a balloon at one time? That's just how her nose sounded when it popped back into place. Hoo-hoo! Everybody was so happy! Well, now, that boy started listing what he wanted for his reward. Well, I expect a new suit of clothes and big fancy supper and... You know, he said, I'm not used to working this much. And so he went outside to take a little rest and think on what else he wanted while they made his big fancy supper. Hoo-hoo! What a day I've had today. And he began to fan himself with a magic fan. And his nose began to grow. And while he slept, it grew, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew, until it was way up there at the bridge of heaven. Now up there at the bridge of heaven, they were putting in a new piece. And when his nose came up there, they just nailed it down to the top of the bridge. Woke that boy up, as you can imagine. Well, he started to scream. But then he said, I have nothing to worry about. I have the magic fan. And so he fanned himself. One, two, three. But there was one little problem. You know, when you nail something down over here, it doesn't come to you. You go to it. And so when he fanned himself with that magic fan, up he went to the bridge of heaven. Now, if you go out on a real clear night and you squint your eyes just so and look in just the right place, you might see that lazy boy to this very day hanging up there by the tip of his nose right from the bridge of heaven. Thank you. Okay. This story takes place right here in North Florida. You see, there was once a very clever gray fox. Now, this very clever gray fox, he caught himself a possum. He knew just what he was going to do with that possum. He took it back to his place over by the Wasissa River. He had a big black pot. He was going to make something good. He was going to make some possum soup. Oh, yes, some possum soup. It's delicious and nutritious when you start to droop. Oh, yes, some possum soup. Some possum soup. Yummy, yummy for my tummy. Possum soup. Now, an alligator came by, and he stopped, and he said, you can't cook that possum. Why, you don't even have any river mud in that pot. And so that old alligator took his tail and put a big glob of river mud right into that pot. Ooh, that fox, he was excited. He started singing and dancing around that pot. Oh, with some possum soup. Some possum soup. It's delicious and nutritious when you start to droop. Oh, yes, some possum soup. Some possum soup. Yummy, yummy for my tummy. Possum soup. Now a tall blue heron walked by, and she stopped, and she stretched her long, graceful neck, and she peeked into that pot. She said, it's looking kind of thin, don't you think? Perhaps a few crunchy, chewy feathers might help. Said that fox. So she pulled out a few feathers and put them into that pot. Now over on a rock was sitting a chameleon, and he came slithering off that sun-soaked stone and came right up to that pot. You need some flies to make it tasty. So that chameleon caught about 100 flies on his tongue, spit them right into that pot. Ooh, that fox, he was excitipated. He was singing and dancing around that pot. Oh, it's some possum soup. Some possum soup is delicious and nutritious when you start to droop. Oh, yeah, some possum soup. Some possum soup. Yummy, yummy for my tummy. Possum soup. Now, there was a rock sitting over on the edge of the woods that nobody had been paying much mind to. I mean, who looks at a rock? Until the rock started to move. Because, you see, it wasn't a rock at all. It was an armadillo. And that armadillo came right up to that pot. Soup. You need grubs and ants and other crabs. creepy crawlies. Mm-mm, said that fox. So that armadillo dug up grubs and ants and other creepy crawlies and put them into that pot. Now, said the fox, all I need is that big, fat, juicy possum. So that all those animals, especially the possum, started screaming, no, wait, stop, you can't cook that possum. Why, you haven't even tasted the broth. So that very clever gray fox, he leaned down for a great big slurp. That was terrible. You tried to pot. Wait a minute. You all just tricked me. You just didn't want me to eat that possum. Well, now that very clever gray fox, he was so embarrassed at being tricked by those animals that he just went running off into the woods. And I've heard that since he never had any possum soup, he never needed to sing his possum soup song. Oh, it's some possum soup, it's delicious and nutritious when you start to droop. Oh, yes, some possum soup, yummy, yummy for my tummy, possum soup, yeah! Another little true story connected with that one. I was telling stories and I had a really bad sore throat and I had a cough drop in my mouth, but it was just down to a little tiny sliver. And I was telling that story and I said, so he took a great big slurp and I inhaled my cough drop. And I went, and all these people suddenly were going like, oh my God, you know, we're going to have to mouth to mouth or something, you know. But it went right down. And then I went, and I was all better. But it was a little touch and go there for a minute. So now if I'm going to tell that story and I have a cough drop like today, I always make sure it's a big one so that I don't inhale it. That would be terrible. Yes, you all would save me, right? If I oh, good, good. Makes me feel better. All right. Well, trials and tribulations, right? All righty. This is a story about the wind. See, even though, you know, it's not going to cloud today. I was telling somebody earlier that we've got two theme songs running today, and that if everybody keeps these theme songs going in their mind all day, we're going to have good weather. The first theme song is, it ain't going to rain no more, no more, ain't going to rain no more, okay? You got that one in your head now so that you can just kind of hum it to yourself now and again throughout the day. And the other one is, and there'll be blue skies for, okay, so you got those two songs now? That's what we're going to do all day long. All right. But we can manage with a little breeze, so we're telling this story for our little breeze. You see, there was once an old man who lost his socks. You ever lost your socks? Yeah, everybody loses their socks now and again. Well, now this old man, he lost his socks. He looked everywhere. He looked under his bed. He looked all through the laundry. Why, he even looked behind the refrigerator. Couldn't find his socks anywhere. So he opened up his doors and he opened up his windows and he sat down and he waited. And pretty soon, in blew that wind. It blew all around the room. And that old man, he jumped up and he closed the doors and he closed the windows and he said, find my socks. And that wind said, do you know who I am? I am the wild and restless west wind, and I work for no man. Well, that old man, he picked up a knife and whoosh, cut a piece of that wind off, put it into a rug, rolled the rug up against the wall. What was the wind to do? He was missing a piece of himself now. So that old man opened up the door and the wind blew. And it blew and it blew and it blew and it blew. And until it came to where there was a wood chopper. Now that wood chopper, he had socks on his hand. And the wind blew up to that woodchopper and said, "Give me those socks." And the woodchopper said, "I can't give you my socks. Why, I've needed them ever since I lost my gloves. You know, they keep my hands from getting blisters and cold and all." "Well, I suppose I could give them to you if you'd go and get me some gloves." "Do you know who I am? I am the wild and restless West Wind, and I work for no man." Well, that woodchopper had an axe and whoop, cut a piece of that wind right off, stuck it up into a hole in the tree. What was the wind to do? The wind blew and blew and blew and blew and blew until it came to where there was an old gypsy woman. Now, this old gypsy woman, she had gloves on her head. And the wind blew right up to her and said, "Give me those gloves." And the old gypsy woman said, "Ah, do you like my gloves? Quite festive, don't you think? I've been wearing them ever since I lost my scarf. I can't give them to you, though. I just need them." "Well, I guess I could give them to you if you'd go and find me a scarf." "Do you know who I am?" said the wind.
"No," she said.
"I am the wild and restless West Wind, and I work for no man and no woman."
Well, she pulled a pair of scissors out of her pocket, whoop, cut a piece of that wind right off, stuck it in her pocket, snapped it shut. What was the wind to do? The wind blew and blew and blew and blew and blew until it came to where there was a sheep. Now that sheep had a scarf around his neck. And the wind said, "Give me that scarf." And the sheep said, "Oh, no, I can't do that. And this scarf, I've had it ever since I lost my blue ribbon. Makes me quite beautiful, don't you think?" "I suppose I could give it to you if you'd go find me a blue ribbon."
"Do you know who I am?" said the wind. "I am the wild and restless West Wind, and I work for no man and no woman and no sheep."
Well, that sheep just reached out, took a bite right out of that wind, put it underneath the hay mound. What was the wind to do? The wind blew and blew and blew and blew and blew until it came to where there was a bird in a bird's nest. Now that bird had a blue ribbon right in her nest. And that wind blew up and said, "Give me that ribbon." And the bird said, "I can't give you my ribbon. Why, I'd have a hole in my nest." "Well, I guess if you get a feather or something to stick in its place, I could give it to you."
"Do you know who I am?" said the wind. "I am the wild and restless West Wind, and I work for no man and no woman and no sheep and no bird."
Well, that bird just reached up a claw, whoop, took a piece of that wind, sat down right on top of it. Well, the wind was very weak with all those pieces missing. But what was it to do? It blew and blew and blew and blew. And it came to where there was a little girl with a long gray feather. And that wind said, "Give me that feather." And the little girl said, "I can't give you my feather. And besides, who are you anyway?" And the wind said,
"No, you're not. Why, you're hardly anything but a breeze. What you got to trade?"
And the wind said, "Nothing." And the little girl said,
"Well, I guess I could give you my feather for a promise. Do you promise that you'll come back on a hot summer's day and blow a little breeze on me to keep me cool?"
And the wind said, "And so the little girl gave the wind her feather. And the wind blew and blew and blew and blew until it came to where the bird was. And he gave the bird the feather, and the bird gave him the blue ribbon and the piece of himself. And he blew and he blew and he blew and he blew until he came came to the sheep, and he gave the sheep the blue ribbon, and the blue sheep gave him the scarf and the piece of himself. And he blew and he blew and he blew and he blew until he came to the gypsy woman, and he gave her the scarf, and she gave him the gloves and the piece of himself. And he blew and he blew and he blew and he blew until he came to the woodchopper, and he gave the woodchopper the gloves, and the woodchopper gave him the socks and the piece of himself. And he blew and he blew and he blew and he blew fast and furious till he came to the old man's house, and he blew open his door, and he said, "Here are your socks." And the old man said, "It works every time." And so, if you ever lose your socks, and you looked everywhere, under your bed, all through the laundry, even behind the refrigerator, and you still can't find your socks, you just open up the doors and the windows, and if somebody wants to know what you're doing, you just tell them this story. Then they'll understand. Okay, I'm not going to tell you the name of this story. I'm going to let you tell me the name of this story. When I get to the end, I'll go like this. You can just shout out the answer. But if you think of it before I get to the end, hold it inside now, because you don't want to spoil it for somebody who might not have guessed. There once was a girl who lived in a castle. She and her daddy were having a hassle from the king, wanted her to spin gold from hay on a needle like a pin. If she didn't do the spinning trick, she and her daddy would die real quick. Late that night, to her dismay, she found herself in a room full of hay. Just as she started to cry, up popped a little man about this high. He said, "I can turn that hay into gold quick as a wink and put your family right back in the pink." "Oh yes, name anything," she cried. "I just want one thing, your firstborn child." With a spin of the wheel, the gold started to fly. The mounds grew higher, as easy as pie. The king was thrilled, it was hard to hide, and he asked that girl to be his bride. 1 year later, a baby boy was born, and little man came the very next morn. "I want your child." "Oh no," she cried. "Very well, guess my name, and you win," he sighed. She guessed Tom and Bill and Harold and Hugh, John and Carl and Sam and Sue. None of them was close to right, and so he gave her one more night. Her spy followed him to the woods, and there he got all the goods. Next morning early, little man did arrive. "I know your name. Surely you jive. It's not Sam, it's not Carl, it's not Paul, it's not Ben. Your name, little man, is..." "He cursed and swore and jumped up and down, and then he was gone clean out of town. So if you're straight or if you bend, this is the story, yes, this is the end, oh yeah." Thank you very much. Have a good time today. Thanks, Peggy.
Thank you so much. Isn't she